And welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Thursday, October 17th, moving swiftly through the week till game day, which is now 2 days away. That game will be played at 9 o'clock p.m., so you got some time to get some stuff done in the middle of the day. But it is Thursday, we're moving through the week. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Chance Collins, joined behind the producer's booth by Weston Brown. Brandon is at a doctor's appointment right now, just in case you were wondering. But it's the three of us, so we're rocking and rolling. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Doing good.
You just put Brandon out there. It's HIPAA laws, Rick.
To say he's at a doctor's appointment? Am I breaking laws
now? You're breaching the law. You're breaching HIPAA.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
You're a rebel.
Walking the dog. Walking the dog.
Is that a thing? Breaking the law, walking the dog.
I'm 99% sure it's Beavis and Butthead.
Oh.
But 1% sure that's not.
It seems like a little old, too old for you to reference Beavis and Butthead. I'm feeling good. Feeling great, though.
Good.
Can't complain.
Yeah. Weston, how you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Well, gentlemen.
Filet of fish in the house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. We're 1 day away from Weston's birthday.
Birthday Eve.
Weston, how old will you be turning?
38. No, 25.
Okay.
25.
25 years young. Are you going to do anything big for it? I guess, obviously, besides the plans that may or may not be enacted.
The plans
on the
that
show.
He has already set for his own birthday, yeah. I might add.
No, actually, my grandfather's going to be going on a cruise starting this weekend, so I actually have to fill in for him.
So
on
party
his,
at Weston's grandparents'
on
house.
On his job. So it's
open house at Weston's grandparents. Bring the party.
It's going to be a busy week.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Man, was that the thing for you guys in high school? Like the second somebody's parents' house or even their grandparents' house would be open for a weekend? To be like, well, that's where the party's inevitably going to be
at somebody's house while the adults are out of town.
Oh yeah, oh,
never yeah. Rick Butler.
While the parents are gone, the children must play.
Of course, everybody's done that.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's just not on the log.
Yeah. So let's look what we got on the show today. We got two action-packed hours for you. I guess the biggest news so far is that Jeremy Pruitt did give an update on Brian Maurer's status.
Yeah, I saw that come across this morning. I was watching some local news as well. Game time decision. Brian Maurer going to be a game time decision for Bama. Kind of what I was talking about at the beginning of the week. If the guy's ready to play, you play him. I don't think there's any strategic advantage right here for the Vols that they're trying not to let it be known that Garantano is going to play. I mean, the tape's already out on that guy.
Yeah.
Alabama's not sweating you like you're going to beat them. So they know what they're going to get from Garantano. They don't know so much from Maurer because, yeah, you have saw some pretty glimpses of, I wouldn't say greatness, but, you know, of great play at times, especially when they played Georgia. So, yeah, man, it's one of those things that if Maurer's ready, I truly think that, you know, you go ahead and you put him out there and you let him play. He's going to have to play some competition like this. If he's going to be the starting quarterback for Tennessee, and you kind of want to get him ready. And like I say, man, you only get better by playing the best. Even though this is going to be a tough game for him, they're going to beat Bama's going to beat the hell out of Tennessee. You know, a 2% chance Tennessee has, according to the FPI, to win. So, yeah, man, you put him out there, you let him get some snaps against this quality opponent, and just hope that he can keep himself safe.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. My thing, I guess going into the Georgia game was that, you know, it was a great idea to sit him for the Georgia game, let him start last week versus Mississippi State,
yeah,
and then at least, you know, allow him to get a start under the belt before moving into Alabama. But I feel like, if, you know, because that was not how the case went, because you did start him versus Georgia, you started him versus Mississippi State, I really would love to go see him start versus Alabama. And you know what? Well, it's not going to help us necessarily win the game. I think, obviously, it's going to help us play a more competitive game.
Yeah.
But it's obviously not going to help us win the game. That's all right. I don't think anyone's expecting that. I don't think anybody wants Maurer to go out there and play because, you know, with and only with Maurer, do we have a chance to win this game? At least maybe a good chance. I don't think that's the case, but you know, from all accounts of what we've seen, we have a good young quarterback mm-hmm. who, you know, is handling this about as well as you can right now. You know, he's not afraid. During the Georgia game, I think he had every opportunity to come out there and feel the pressure of being under the lights, playing against the third best team in the country. And you know what? He handled it well. He threw for like 268 yards. I mean, he had some lasers of a touchdown. So I do think that you start him versus Alabama this week. It doesn't seem like Pruitt is tipping his hat, though. He said, quote, still a game-time decision with him. It's easy to take reps because they have a protocol where the kind of – excuse me, this quote is hard for me to read right now. It's easy to take reps because they have a protocol where they kind of get them in, kind of adjust them back into the practice schedule. You don't hit the quarterback in practice, so he'll be taking reps this week. So yeah. Obviously, you know, Maurer is out there at practice, but in terms of can he sustain the big hits, you know, they're not even remotely testing that out. So I guess we'll see as it gets closer to Saturday.
Yeah, quarterbacks don't take the hits in game day week leading up to a game anyways. They got on the black jerseys. That's, you know, per the use. But, yeah, I mean, like, the guy's pretty tough. I mean, landing on his neck, didn't die out there. Did a pretty good job of that.
No, he bent his neck a full,
He piledrived himself.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, I don't think that his teammates or the fans or even his coaches are really questioning his toughness. It's just the fact of let's not put the kid out there in harm's way if he's not ready. But if the doctors clear him, if he's through the protocol, get him out there and play. He's your quarterback. He's your starting quarterback. Give him the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think that you sit him just because
it's Alabama.
It's Alabama.
I hate that notion. I really do. It's kind of cowardly, and it just says that, you know, you already know that you're the inferior opponent, but let's just not, like, give the game away. Like you say, if there's any chance to make it competitive, it's coming from the arm of Brian Maurer, not from the arm of Jarrett Garantano.
Yeah, I totally think so. And, you know, there has been notions about it in the sense of, like, I even saw an article today, and I believe it was from the Sentinel, about why JT Shrout should start. And, man, to me it's like, hey, Brian Maurer came to the university to play football for Tennessee.
Yeah.
He came to play the University of Alabama. Like, that's what people do, especially when you come to Tennessee. You know that the third Saturday in October is a can't-miss matchup, right? These guys are looking forward to this, even if they know they're going to lose. It's part of the Tennessee tradition.
You're going to get your shot to shock the world.
Exactly. And so, like, I don't think that, you know, Brian Maurer is sitting here. He's been waiting for his chance to get in. He took his chance to get in, and he solidified it. I don't think Brian Maurer is going to be the first guy to be like, hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't know about this. Coach, I think that maybe we should go with JG this week. You know, I'm going to be great for South Carolina.
Coach, I don't think I'm really ready to get out there and play.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine a situation where Pruitt comes to him and he's like, hey, man, you know, the doctors gave you the good to go, but we're not going to play you. I'd imagine he'd be like, what the hell? Why not? Like, hey, am I not the quarterback of this team? Like, that's why I was here. That's why you put me in, Coach, to play the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm with you. It's pretty elementary to go out and put him out there if he's ready. Like you say, he didn't come here riding no pine, and you didn't make him the starting quarterback to ride the pine and to not put him out there because your opponent's better than you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You simply don't do that. It's not any type of coaching mentality that we want as fans. No matter how many fans are out there saying, oh, it's not a good idea to go ahead and put a Maurer out there because you want him for the stretch of those games, you're going to try to become bowl eligible. Well, if a quarterback is too scared to get out there against the best competition he's going to see, same thing if a coach is scared to put him out there, those ain't the people that I want leading my team.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I understand the argument of people saying, you know, well, hey, what if he gets re-injured and you got to stick with Garantano or JT Shrout? It's like, well, okay, I see your point, and I understand that the quarterback is by far the most important position on the field right now. However, football is just a freak of nature sport, like all these sports are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't think if Juwan Jennings gets hurt, that doesn't play a massive role into the rest of the season? Marquez Callaway, even Ty Chandler, even though you got two other good backs. Ty Chandler, Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Trey Smith. If any of these guys go down, that severely hurts the rest of your season, even if Maurer's playing. So, you know, if you're worried about injuries, then we might as well not go down there.
Yeah,
because anybody can get injured on any given week. And again, I know the quarterback is by far the most important position. But you have guys right now all over the field that kind of have the same sort of impact. I really don't believe that we would have a good offensive team even if Maurer was in, if Juwan Jennings is not there. Maybe even if Marquez Callaway is not there. So, hey, yeah. Injuries are just going to be a part of it. And we really hope it doesn't happen, but you can't be scared to put out your best guys there. And that's to the coaching staff. And I can't imagine that Maurer is saying, you know, hey, if I'm good to go, I don't think I should go. But, you know, hey, to everybody involved, we want you to play. We expect you to play. That's why you're here. That's why you're a football player.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that's a little bit about our initial thoughts on the quarterback situation for this Saturday. If you would like to join the show with us and talk about that, feel free to give us a call, 865-546-8200. All the phone lines are wide open today to start up the show. We'll go ahead and catch a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and we'll get into some more Tennessee stuff, some more sports stuff. Who knows? We might even have an opening drive to get through.
Oh.
Oh.
I like opening drives.
Stick around. This is The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz, 10:17 a.m., SEC Media Days was yesterday for basketball, so I forgot to mention that will be a big topic of conversation as we roll along with the day today. Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden getting all the shine up there, and certainly some funny moments happen as well. But until then, let's jump over to the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, which you can call by calling 865-546-8200. Good morning, Phil. How you doing? Thursday morning. Feeling good?
Good morning, fabulous Rick Butler.
Man, what's going on? What's on your mind?
How's Chancellor and Brandon doing?
Doing great, Phil. Feeling good, feeling great as always.
Brandon is not doing so great. Brandon's sick right now. He's got a pretty nasty little sinus infection, I believe.
Really?
Yep. One of those.
Yeah. Sound like he goes around that station a lot, don't they? Did them taking their flu shots or what?
Look,
a lot of people, I'm guessing that kind of nasty, right? And washing their hands.
The flu shot as well is interesting. I want to talk about that later this week. Phil, do you believe in the flu shot?
Yeah, I take them.
You do?
Yeah.
Every time I take one, Phil, I feel like I get the flu.
Well, you do a little bit.
I know, they put a little bit. Yeah. I'm saying, like, I feel like I get
it. You get it full blown.
I get it, like, full blown. Last year I had whatever the lower case, like the lower tier flu was, and I had that and strep.
Well, I'm pretty sure Trey Wallace has the flu right now, so that's the danger of being in this tiny studio with microphones.
Wash your hands, people. It's flu season. Yeah. Damn it.
I think strep's worse than the flu. But
oh, it's so much worse.
Because,
it's awful.
Yeah, it restricts everything you're eating and drinking. Phil, would you like to start with basketball or football today?
Yeah, let's start basketball. I mean, what else would you say? Well, we'll get annihilated Saturday. There's really not much else you have to say on whether who the quarterback is or who the coach is. You can put Bear Bryant on Tennessee sidelines, and the result would be about the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot. You know, again, it's not a conversation that, you know, what is going to allow us to win and what is not. It's just kind of a matter of, you know, hey, this is our quarterback. You know, we obviously want to make sure he's healthy, but, you know, we've seen a lot of Jared Garantano. We want to see Brian Maurer.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't even play him unless you have to.
You wouldn't play who, Maurer?
I'd play him, I'd play him a little bit in the first half, and then once the game gets out of hand, I'd see him put him on the bench.
Yeah, and I'd be much more open to that than even just saying, you know, hey, we're gonna totally punt the ball and just, you know, leave Maurer on the sidelines even though he's healthy. I think that having him play against Georgia was great experience, even though that was at home. Now I think, you know, you give him the chance to go play at Alabama under the lights at night, and that's another good building experience.
Exactly. Guys, let's talk a little bit about the basketball team. Are y'all surprised about the fifth-place finish?
Yeah, I was just looking at that right now. For those of you who don't know, the SEC Media Days obviously was the other day, so the preseason projections came out. Kentucky's predicted to win the SEC title for the 9th consecutive season, followed by Florida at 2, LSU at 3, Auburn at 4, Tennessee at 5, followed by Alabama, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Georgia, South Carolina, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Missouri, with Jerry Stackhouse and them boys being the last team in the SEC at Vanderbilt at the 14th position.
Yeah.
I can't lie and say I'm that surprised. Just, you know, looking at the roster on paper, I mean, you look at Auburn, who they're bringing back, and as far as, like, you know, you think about their perimeter shooting, so they're going to be a tough team as always. And you think about where they finished the last couple seasons. LSU, we know how good they are, fighting Will Wade's. He won't go down. They haven't done a damn thing to
him.
We
all know they're recruiting.
Yeah, we know they're recruiting hard. Florida at two. Florida's got a strong team this year. Florida's the team, though, that I'd say, like, might be the pretender out of the bunch. It's just something about Mike White. Over the last couple seasons, I just don't have a lot of faith in him. I don't think Florida fans have a lot of faith in him. This is – even though he's like, you know, Florida's the team and Mike White's the guy, get you to Elite Eight every other year, it seems like. They'll make a run, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. A lot of fans still aren't that happy with him down there because they think that he could do so much more. And then Kentucky at one, there's no surprise there. They got the best talent in the SEC in basketball right now.
Well, I mean, Billy Donovan left him a good team. And, the first year he went to the Elite Eight, and then after that he's kind of been Sweet 16 or down. I mean, they're going to tournament every year, but
What do you think? Where is Tennessee fifth? Is it too high? Is it
Tennessee
just about
could be
right?
Four or five, in my opinion.
I think it's very. It's not bad at all. Really, really, you could interchange three, four, and five, and six.
Yeah, that's why
Alabama might be a big surprise this year.
That's pretty much exactly what I was thinking. I mean, Kentucky and Florida are going to be your top one and two. I just think that, you know, roster wise, those are the two most skilled teams in the nation right now. And then, you know, your three through five is fairly flexible. I mean, I don't really have too much of a gripe with LSU and Auburn being ahead of Tennessee because. I mean, especially Auburn proved that they were better later in the year. They got much further than us and beat us head-to-head. LSU also beat you head-to-head. But, you know, those three through five, I believe, are all going to be competing right around there.
And it's going to be pretty interesting with the new coaches in the SEC, too. Talking about Stackhouse, talking about, you know, Nate Oates, who led Buffalo to a couple NCAA tournaments before he took the Alabama job. Then you got Musselman at Arkansas.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting – you got some good coaches coming into this league as the league has gotten stronger over the last couple years, Phil. So it's going to be even more talented league as the years go on. That's the thing that kind of sucks. Georgia's likely going to be a little bit better with Tom Crean this year and going into year number three now. Yeah. So we're going into year three of the Tom Crean era. So you got to watch out for those guys. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think you could change three, four, five, and six. Maybe not LSU, but definitely you could interchange four, five, and six. I think a lot of fans probably are pretty excited that the Vols are ranked fifth in the preseason predictions.
Yeah, that's pretty much a four or five seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and that's kind of when we talked about tournament, I know Brandon said like a seven or eight seed. I've been pretty strong since. I still think they can be a five or six seed in this upcoming tournament. And then the only thing right now Vols waiting on is the news about Euros Placic.
Yeah.
Placic.
I'm pretty sure it'll happen, though, but –
yeah, Rick Barnes said, you know, and this was back in June, and he said it again recently, that, you know, if anybody deserves an immediate waiver, it's Euros, and they believe that it's going to happen. Maybe it's just dragging out, but you got to hope that the NCAA, I mean, that's a four-star that's going to make an immediate impact. I mean, dude, 7-1, he hadn't had anybody that size, and I can't remember when. Nobody that size that's actually going to play, too. Like, you've had some guys on the bench that some pretty big size down in the post, but guys that never developed and never even saw any time. But, like, somebody that he's predicted, I mean, the way Barnes talks and everybody talks, sounds like he's going to be an immediate starter if they say he's going to play. And Barnes said the other day that the impact of waiting on Placic is waiting on his waiver is going to depend on how they use Yves Pons this year as well.
Well, I guess Yves Pons is probably going to be a utility player at guard and inside.
Yeah.
I mean, where he's needed the most. And I really think he'd be a better player inside than he will be at guard.
I'm thinking maybe that, too, uses athleticism down low and, you know, slashing to the goal as far as if he's playing that 3-4 position. He'd be a small five if you went small ball. But, yeah, if he's playing that 3-4, he's got a lot of athleticism. He can guard the ball well. He'd be in there to be able to get in there and bang, get some rebounds. And maybe, like what Barnes is saying, they're waiting on to see what happens with Plazic. Maybe they've seen something from Pons, like what you're saying, Phil, where they think that he's going to develop much better if they give him some time in the low post.
But they do have a problem at guard. There's not much depth there. I mean, you got your three guys that you think are going to start, and then who's going to be the back? Is going to be the Jalen Johnson, your fourth guard?
Yeah, that's going to be the
going to play. I mean,
that's going to be the tough part. Is you need a lot of production out of the guys you expect to produce, right? Lamonte, Bowden, and Josiah James. But then when they got to get obviously their rest, who are the guys who are going to step up? Because you still need guys who threaten to score on a consistent basis, right? Or because if they're not, right? If it's just a bunch of streaky shooters. Or if it's guys who you know are not really a threat to drive to the basket or something like that, you know, then that makes Tennessee's offense really stagnant. You know, you got to find somebody who can shoot from the bench who, you know, you can put in there and force the defense to still spread out, still guard down low, but also take you seriously from the outside.
That's why I think Devonta Gaines is going to play because they need depth at guard, and then you can redshirt Devonta Gaines next year when you have all those blue bloods coming in here at guard position.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think, you know, kind of wrapping up the, I guess, that side of things from my perspective is, hey, if you had this insanely great finish the last 2 years in the SEC, right? You were the SEC co-champions 2 years ago. Last year, you were right there at the top. People expecting this year to be a little bit of a step back before we just leap forward next year. And hey, if that step backwards is still a top five finish in the SEC, I feel great about where our program is right now.
It's all about getting an NCAA tournament. I mean, I like winning the league and or winning an SEC tournament, and bottom line is what you do in March.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Thank you very much, Phil, as always. And, you know, he's right. It's about what you do in March. And, you know, and if you're ending the SEC in the top 4 or 5, you know, range, you're looking pretty decent for the NCAA tournament, right?
Oh yeah,
you fully gotta be.
Oh, no doubt.
With how good the SEC is,
no doubt about it. Like that's why, you know, I'm pretty, and you know, the more and more I think about it, I'm pretty excited as far as like I'm a little surprised that you know the voters gave Tennessee's finally getting a lot of respect, you know, because the year they went next to last, they had that great run. And now you see that, you know, people are giving Rick Barnes and a lot of respect for what he's done here. And also at the same time, just, you know, even with a lot of guys leaving, people still know that Barnes is going to do a great job with developing those guys over there and coaching them up. Also, you want to do a great job, put some money in your pocket this weekend. That's right. Get on over to mybookie.ag. And just remember, people, between football season, the MLB playoffs going off right now. The NBA is about to start. College basketball, NBA, NHL season. It's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. If you're like the guy, if you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a little parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week in college football, parlays are perfect for you because they let you bet multiple games, if you didn't know, together for a much bigger payout. As always, use promo code Knoxville to activate that offer. That's promo code Knoxville to double your cash. You still got time to get in on that. Visit mybookie.ag today, people. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to get on the Next Door Home Group hotline, Zach, hold tight. We got to take a quick timeout, buddy. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio.
Drew, it is a beautiful morning so far. Let's continue that. Let's jump back over to the Next Door Home Group hotlines. Get a call from Zach. Good
morning.
The TED
Talker himself, the world-renowned Mr. Zach.
Zach
of the hot
dropped.
Seat.
Oh.
Oh, no Zach.
Wow,
Zach.
We gave a really big setup
for
him.
Yeah, we did.
There.
It was
Zach,
exciting to talk
to you,
Zach. We'd love
for you to call back.
We was telling Filet Fish about your little backstory, Zach, so give us a call back in. I know you want to talk about the game this weekend. talk about, you know, putting Maurer out there and so forth and so on. Probably want to talk a little basketball, too, so go ahead and give us a call back. Or you also can be like Zach, but this time hang on, 865-546-8200 if you want to go to the Next Door Home Group hotline. Yeah, man, I'm really excited for basketball, even though, you know, team not expected to do much. Sometimes I think that's the best teams to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in basketball. Sometimes in football, I don't feel like you have such a competitive advantage. But in basketball, backs against the wall, we saw 3 years ago when they were picked next to last. And just when nobody like really believes in you, this team over there seems like they play harder.
Yeah.
They definitely. And, you know, they've got a lot of notoriety now, and everybody's on kind of seeing what they've done. But they play a lot harder as well. Let's go ahead and bring back in Zach, Mr. TED Talk. What's up, Zach?
What do you say, Chance Chancellor?
Hey, good to hear from you. Feeling good, feeling great, Zach.
How are you guys doing today?
Can't complain too much, man. It's a beautiful day.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Hey, I'm looking forward to basketball. You know, I used to be a pretty big NBA fan. And, you know, when Michael Jordan was there, he was kind of like my childhood hero. And I kind of dropped off from that. But, you know, getting a good college basketball team, too, really helps you to get back in the swing of things. So I have nothing at all but positives to say about Tennessee basketball. Thank God for it. Thank God.
We all need it. We all definitely need
it.
Yeah,
really.
It seems like more and more the last couple of years, we all turn to Tennessee basketball.
You know what? Here's the thing about the Alabama game. It's just, you know, not that I get emotional this week because it's pretty dumb. I mean, we all know what's going to happen. We've had this feeling for years, right? We were going down to the death march, and we pretty much know what's going to happen. The problem with that is what bothers me the most is, uh-huh, you think we're really going to be competing in this game in 2 or 3 years?
Man.
Dude, I don't
even
know.
It depends. Like you say, I'm pretty positive on Maurer, and I talked about this week. You got Harrison Bailey coming in. He's a top-notch prospect. But what happens when Brian Maurer gets a full offseason and he knows that he's going to be a starter? Because, I mean, even at the end of the year, he's a starter. Harrison Bailey comes in here and takes it from him. Harrison Bailey, even though as talented he's supposed to be, I don't think you just give him the starting position, especially as a true freshman. You got to get him in practice. You got to see if he's up to speed for SEC play. You got to work him out. You know, you got to go through, see how quickly he adapts to Jim Chaney's offense. So maybe Maurer in a full year, just because the confidence that we see for him, the swagger, the mentality he has as a type of gunslinger, maybe after a full year offseason, spring camp, fall camp, he's your easy starter, and there's not even thing to say about Harrison Bailey. Or maybe Harrison Bailey is what he's been talked about, and he comes in, takes the job from day one, and then you're talking about if he takes the job from day one as a true freshman, that means he's pretty damn good, we'd all say, correct? I mean, he's probably doing a pretty good job,
yeah,
learning everything pretty quickly. So you say 2 or 3 years down the road, you got Harrison Bailey. If he's doing so well, then you should be competing with Alabama. Like, there comes a time, even as good as Alabama is, and how talented they are and how many, like, exponentially strides we are behind their program right now. There does have to come a time in a Jeremy Pruitt's tenure where you have to maybe not beat Alabama, but you got to at least field a team that's going to be able to at least, you know, compete with them and give them some kind of game. Like, you're going to have to look competitive out there. You don't necessarily have to beat them because it's tough for anybody in the country to beat Alabama, but you got to start fielding teams that can at least compete with those top-tier teams, if that makes any sense to you, Zach.
Yeah, no, I mean, it takes elite quarterback play to beat, you know, your top teams.
Look who's beat Alabama over the – I mean, they've only been beat by elite quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson, and then you sprinkle in a Johnny Manziel in a regular season win. You go back to a Chad Kelly and a Bo Wallace. I mean, not really guys that are elite coming from Ole Miss, but, yeah, the Clemson quarterbacks have been pretty damn elite that have beat them, and then you have to go back, I guess, to Cardale Jones when they lost in the championship to Urban Meyer in Ohio State. So – you have to have an elite quarterback to beat them and to ever even stand a chance to even actually compete with them.
Right. And we'll see how the season unwinds. I mean, you know, we're not going to win this game, but I'd like to see how we do against these last six opponents and what our recruiting class looks like for next year, because I think that's the key. You know, you got to win some of these ball games that, you know, we're even South Carolina, you got to win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to start getting over the hump.
Yeah, man, and for me, I guess to take a step back for just a quick second, for are we going to beat Alabama? Are we going to compete with them in the next 3 or 4 years? Man, I don't even know how this season's going to end right now, right? I think the most important thing when you're talking about the future to me is what kind of coaching staff you have, and I think that the jury is still out on ours, right? We don't know if we're going to end this season with Pruitt as our head coach or not, and I think that most of us are kind of leaning towards, well, yes, we certainly will. We don't think that there's going to be an epic collapse, but, you know, who knows? There could be. And then what's going to happen next year? Are we going to see any kind of improvement? So to me, it's like, well, I don't even know about, you know, Alabama 3 to 4 years from now. I would hope, right? You would expect to at least be in the conversation. But, you know, when I can't even tell you how these last six games are going to finish out, six games which I'm feeling optimistic towards, then I certainly, you know, have a hard time looking that far down the road.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see how things goes. But, you know, I'm definitely leaning in a little away from the staff right now, if, you know, it all be said and done. But we'll see how it goes. We'll take our licks and live to be another day. Y'all have a good weekend, though, okay?
I appreciate the phone call, as always. Thank you. Zach, thank you so much. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to get on the next door, hotline today. Yeah, I mean, next 2 to 3 years, where is Tennessee going to be with, like, competing against teams like Alabama, you know, Florida, Georgia? You better be competing, in a sense, in 3 years, I would say, in 2 years. Like, and that, like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean Alabama, you probably can get a pass on, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's beating them in the country.
Yeah, the people who are beating Alabama are typically raising the banner
yeah,
as
exactly.
They do so. You know, so like,
you don't just beat Alabama and just, oh,
yeah, that, and then move on to South Carolina the next week.
No,
nobody does that.
When you're beating Alabama, you're like you say, you're likely beating them in an SEC championship game like Georgia did a couple years ago, or you're likely beating them in the title game.
Yeah.
So you can get by on that, but you will have to start being able to field teams that can compete and teams that can beat Florida, teams that can beat Georgia. You're talking 2 or 3 years down the road. If you're not fielding the team at that time that can do any of those things I just said, then what the hell are you doing? You'll have to make a coaching change. You're just never going to – like, Tennessee can't just stay in the we can't beat the good teams lane.
Yeah, because you know who's there right now? It's Michigan. And what is all the talk been about Michigan the last couple of years is – you know, hey, everybody knows that Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. You know, he's better than a lot of teams in the country would rather have Jim Harbaugh than whoever they have now. However, the people of Ann Arbor are getting really ticked off because they're saying to themselves, hey, we know we have a good coach. Why can't we ever win the biggest games?
And for them, too, the biggest thing is, like, not even if he's getting them in the playoffs, which they thought by now he would have them in the playoff.
Oh, yeah.
And 2 years ago, or was it – it was 2 years ago, I think, or maybe last year when they had, like, the best defense in the country. They should have been in the playoff. He can't get past Ohio State, and that's the most important thing people care in Ann Arbor about is if you can beat Ohio State. That's why they got Jim Harbaugh, was to come in and beat Ohio State, also to take them to some playoffs, but they got him to come in and beat Ohio State. Do not get it twisted.
Yeah, and so I think, like, that kind of puts in perspective about what the timeline for goals are. Right? Like, you can't just start a brand new coach and have your first goal to be, you know, to win your division or something like that. Like, I think, like, for Tennessee, the goal right now is not to necessarily win the SEC East. The goal is to beat Florida and or Georgia.
I mean, right now.
You're not winning the East until those things even happen.
Yeah, that's your main goal, to beat a Florida or Georgia so you can line yourself up in an SEC East race. But, I mean, right now, realistically, we're talking about your goal is to beat South Carolina. Your goal is to beat Vanderbilt. Your goal is to beat Kentucky. Your goal is to beat Missouri. And after that, you go ahead and make those lofty goals like, you know, next up, got to be able to beat Florida. Got to be able to beat Georgia 1 year. And then after
there's a progression, you know? And I think that's exactly what you're getting to right there, you know, for a coaching staff, there's a progression of goals that you got to check off to reach your final destination, right? The first goal is being, hey, you got to assert your dominance on the teams that typically just get dominated.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky, Vanderbilt.
When
the games you're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. and then you move on to a little bit bigger fish, and then you can start chasing hardware, and then you can start chasing Final Fours, and then eventually national championships. But hey, if we're not even beating Florida, Georgia, and Alabama yet, then you know those have to be the next goal. We still got to make sure we beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt this year. So there's a lot of different kinds of progressions, and I think that, you know, for the conversation of where will we be in a couple of years, I genuinely don't know, because I don't even know where we'll be this year. I could see us ending this year with a bowl victory.
4-8.
Or
3-9.
With Jeremy Pruitt getting fired after Vanderbilt. I can see both of those options happening.
I would say that he does have to beat Vanderbilt this year. I don't know if that's a all-be-all fire him, especially, I mean, if you get bowl eligible before you get to Vanderbilt, which is going to be tough for them to do. I know a lot of people say, no way they're going to do that. Yeah, that's going to be tough for them to do. But if it's pending on Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt beats you again, yeah, he might lose his job.
Is the biggest nightmare situation to be 5-6 going into the final week against Vanderbilt?
Absolutely.
That is the biggest nightmare decision.
Because not only you might be a little tight because of the ramifications and what you need to do as a team, they might come out a little, you know, puckered up. But at the same time, we already know how Vanderbilt treats it every year. Beating Tennessee,
and we've been in that situation.
Beating
before.
Tennessee is it makes their season. Yeah. Beating Tennessee also is the reason why Derek Mason has been able to keep his job after, you know, kind of hanging on and not winning games like they thought he would. I mean, he's the only other person outside of James Franklin to coach that university to have two multiple bowl eligible seasons. So at the same time, Tennessee is the reason why he's been able to keep this job too. You beat Tennessee. Everybody knows the standards at Vanderbilt are high. It's really tough to recruit there because of the academic standards. But you beat Tennessee, and you're talking about, you know, that's what saves him, beating that in-state rival every year.
Yeah, it really does. And so, you know, to me, that's the nightmare situation is trying to beat Vanderbilt to get bowl eligible. To me, that scares the pants off me.
If that happens, I almost just be like, yeah, they're going to lose.
I think that's might be the most likely.
I mean,
it's probably
going to
happen.
You're sitting at, what, two wins right now?
Right.
Let's map that out. Yeah, you beat UAB.
And you beat South Carolina and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Lose to Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting at 5-6. Oh, my God.
It's likely.
Oh, my God. That would be the
It's likely going to happen.
Yeah, that's about exactly how this.
That's not the greatest scenario for us. That's not really what you want. That's going to make it tough.
No, that's not the greatest scenario for us though. The one that is though, we'll go ahead and catch a quick break right now. We'll head back on the other side. We'll finish up hour number one, and then we got hour number two. So don't go anywhere. You listen to the Blitz. Back here on the Blitz, wrapping up hour number one. Let's stick with the phone call.
DJ Filet of Fish on the ones and twos.
Oh yeah, he's getting some props out there on the Twitter machine.
DJ Fish.
People are liking the bumpers.
I love how people
spinning.
Have just started, just like, you know, no, that's your nickname now, Filet of Fish. But people just like, we got people coming in the station. They just say, "What's up, Fish?"
Yeah,
I love it.
That was hilarious. That
I
happened
love it.
Yesterday.
You are now Fish Filet of Fish.
Like that
any
was
a,
like
any
that
of
was
the
your
two.
Last name or something.
Brandon lost it when Cody came in and said, "Hey, Fish."
Yeah, I love it now.
Yeah, it was good.
It's a staple.
So anyways, let's jump over to back to the Next Door Home Group hotline. Get a call from Roberto. Good morning, sir. What's going on?
I wish my nickname was Filet of Fish.
Really?
No. Pretty awesome nickname.
There you go.
He does carry it well, Roberto. He's kind of like, you know, he's stuck with it. He loves his Filet of Fish, so who are we to tell him to not be called Filet of Fish?
You know, it's own who you are, guys. Own who you are.
It's exactly right.
Thank you.
You know, chance would be DJ CBD oil or something like that.
I like it.
DJ apple cider vinegar.
I like it. DJ home remedy over here.
That's right. DJ allopathic medicine.
DJ holistic over here. Thank you, sir.
That's so great. That's a disc name right there. So, hey, guys, so here's the deal. First of all, Chance, great running into you the other day. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, man, good to see you, too.
So you were talking about nightmare fuel being Vanderbilt to go to a bowl game. Guys, that's a perfect scenario for us. You know why?
Why?
Because if Jeremy Pruitt loses, we know we have a loser.
Yeah, I mean, we
don't know who he is yet.
Yeah, how would we
that,
not?
Yeah, that's a good point.
How
we
would
don't
we
know.
Not call him a loser? Because, I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, we gave Butch so much grief for not being able to get past Vanderbilt, especially when he blew the Sugar Bowl for us as well. So,
oh,
I mean,
thanks
yeah.
for mentioning that.
I know.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
A little knife in the side. But, yeah, I mean, you would know who he was at that point. And I would say that Phil Fulmer's got to be a lot of pressure on him. He has to beat Vanderbilt this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to tell you this. If he makes a bowl, as bad as that Georgia State loss is, and it is historically bad, okay? And BYU, now that they've kind of gotten on the schneid, as it were, that is a pretty bad loss, all right? But I see improvement. I see improvement in the team. And if somehow we can be playing at any point this year for a bowl game, at any point, we're playing to go to a bowl. If we win, we are in it. We're eligible for a bowl. He's done a hell of a job. As bad as this team was, and it is not a good football team, but they are slightly improving, and it would give you hope for next year.
Okay, right? I have a totally mixed bag on what you're saying here, and so on one hand, I totally agree. Right, if you start out that horribly. I mean, and you can get yourself anywhere close to 6 wins, then that is an improvement that absolutely has to be noticed and recognized. No doubt about it. But on the other hand, part of me is kind of like, well, all he's really doing right now is beating the teams that he should have, you know, that he was supposed to beat in the first place, right? And so I have a...
I don't know. But I mean, to be fair, Mississippi State was ranked in the top 25 to start the year. Now, well, do they suck? Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah.
But I guess the rest of the
teams. I mean, we're 7-point dogs at home. I don't know if we're supposed to beat that team. But, I mean, to be fair, I get what you're saying, because we're 26-point home favorites against a team we should have trounced, and we didn't even prepare. But, yeah, so I'm sorry.
Hey, no, but the most insightful thing you said was you pretty much nailed it. And we still don't even know exactly what is the identity of this coaching staff yet. We've seen good things and we've seen bad things so far. Now we got to see, hey, what is the consistency of this coaching staff, right? We've seen the ups and we've seen the downs, but can we get like a consistent 4 to 5 week stretch where yeah. we know who these guys are and the identity of what they want this team to be? Because right now we could say it's a bunch of different things.
Well, you know, something else to just ponder would be, yeah, like it seems like every single game we've come out, that we feel like we can win, okay? That our coach, and I'm not including Georgia State because I think they thought they were going to roll their helmets out and that power tee was just going to blow over Georgia State, okay? But every game they come out that I believe they think they can win, they seem prepared. If nothing else, they seem prepared. That reflects on coaching.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, even in the Georgia game, I don't think they thought they could win, but it's like all of a sudden the coaches realize they have to actually coach these kids. Like their natural talent's not going to carry them.
Yeah.
And they seem well coached. All of a sudden, they seem terribly coached for weeks to start the season. And all of a sudden, bang, they're well coached. I mean, BYU, they seemed pretty well coached. You know, I think they came out prepared and fired up. But I think the lingering effects of the loss the week before it, you know, not to make excuses, but that definitely had an effect on them late. And then, I don't know, man. You're talking about a 4 to 5 week stretch of games. It's sure as hell not starting this week.
No.
And I just can't believe they're even starting Maurer. I mean, I cannot believe it. But that's the scuttlebutt I'm hearing. I just can't believe it. I just can't get my head past. I can't believe they're starting this kid. They're going to throw away their season to make him look like a tough guy. Don't be a tough guy this week.
That's interesting. Hey, appreciate the phone call, Roberto. We got to hit it top of the hour break. We'll discuss that on the other side about being a tough guy and if Tennessee's making the wrong decision putting Brian Maurer up against Alabama. You listen to the Blitz, hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up next.